Hello and welcome to Cooking Your Way Through Life.
Today's episode is Cooking Your Way Through Cannabis in the Food Industry. And today's recipe is weed-infused brownies. Yeah.
Cooking Your Way Through Life is a podcast combining knowledge of the kitchen and applying it to real-life situations. This podcast is all about understanding techniques to make things you already know even better. Topics from traveling on a budget, setting and achieving short and long-term goals, and of course, cooking.
On today's episode, we're going to go over using cannabis butter in different recipes. We're also going to talk about the billion-dollar industry of marijuana and why some of these states don't want to make it legal for you. Also, we're going to teach you how to make your own brownies today, but go over some different recipes you can use this butter in and hopefully teach you a couple things you might not know. So get ready.
Please welcome Chef Hollywood.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Cooking Your Way Through Life with me, Chef Hollywood. And we are kicking off season three with Cooking Your Way Through Cannabis and the Food Industry. Now, if you are not familiar with cannabis and the food industry, then you probably don't live in one of the states where weed is basically legal now. And if you are familiar with it, then you know what we're about to talk about today. But with season three, there are a couple changes. One change that you're going to find throughout the season is that I'm taking it back to season one, where I tie in the food with the topic a little bit more. Season two was more about how I felt about it. But with this season, I want to tie it back in and kind of make it mesh a little better. So in this season, the funny thing is, for the first episode today, we're going to talk about cannabis in the food industry, but I'm going to make something that is super simple, but it's also a homage to last season. So last season, if you heard Cooking Way Through the Arts with the emphasis on dancing, you heard from my friends Becca and Freddie, and we talked about the dance community, and we also made some amazing brownies. Well, just like cannabis industry, where we are basically recycling old ideas here, I'm doing the same thing on this episode. So we're going to make some more brownies, and the recipe is going to be slightly different, but we're also going to use some cannabis butter here. So if you never use cannabis butter, it's basically weed infused butter, and we're going to use it. I'm going to go over different ways of how you can use it, and we're going to hopefully give you an amazing recipe today, but also give you some knowledge behind the whole movement of weed being legalized. All right, so let's dive right in. So as I mentioned, we are making some brownies today. Shout out to America's Test Kitchen. Ever since I worked for them, and I used to make these chewy brownies every week, pretty much, no matter where I was in the world, I just kind of fell in love with making my own brownies. Like, I never thought before I worked for them that brownies could be so simple and easy to make at your house with ingredients from your cabinet. But after working there, I realized, why am I ever buying brownie mix again? Like, I can just make the brownies and they taste so much better. Plus, chocolate is actually pretty cheap when you buy it from a grocery store, and you buy it when it's on sale and you can keep it for a while. So it's not something that you need to just run out and grab when it's really expensive per se. So it's really cool to know how to do it. And as far as how we're going to make these brownies, we are taking a slight page out of their book because I like the idea of using the three different chocolates. We're going to kick it up a notch today. I'm going to use some Dutch pressed cocoa. I'm going to use some unsweetened chocolate, but I'm also going to use some white chocolate and milk chocolate. We're going to put some more things in there, but we'll get to that later, so do not worry. But the most important ingredient in here is going to be the cannabis butter. So Just as it sounds, cannabis butter is literally just cannabis-infused butter, meaning that once you have cannabis butter, you can usually, not all the way, or not all the time, but usually swap out cannabis butter for regular butter in certain recipes. Now, in terms of making cannabis butter, if you don't make it yourself or you're not sure of how the process has been made when you purchase it, sometimes when people make cannabis butter, they make clarified butter and the process of making cannabis butter. And if you are a chef or a baker or a pastry chef, you know that clarified butter and whole fat butter or whole butter does work differently in recipes. So if you are not sure or you cannot cite the source in a way, you want to make sure that you have enough fat in your butter when you have cannabis butter to make your recipe an easy swap out when you're changing it. In this case, with these brownies that we're making today, We use oil and butter, so it actually does not matter if we have a little less fat content in that butter because we worked out because we had the oil in there to balance it out with the amount of fat that we need for our brownies to not be dry. So it works out great for this recipe. And the first thing we want to do is get our Dutch pressed cocoa and our unsweetened chocolate melted down. So we're going to work smart, not hard here, guys. We're going to put some hot water into our brownies. And I love this trick because instead of melting your chocolate down in the microwave or using the stovetop and then adding hot water in later, just add your hot water to your bar of unsweetened chocolate and your cocoa powder. And that will liquefy your chocolate and also go ahead and bring that cocoa powder to a liquid state. Now, it is optional, but if you want a little bit of a bite in here, you want to use a little bit of espresso. So instant espresso or coffee helps you taste the chocolate better. It's another trick I learned from America's Test Kitchen because I'm not a huge chocolate fan and I also hate coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker at all, but this trick really does work well and I like it because it honestly makes me feel like I have a truer taste of the chocolate itself. And it goes so well in a brownie recipe or a chocolate cake recipe. And you don't taste the chocolate. I mean, you don't taste the cocoa or coffee in any sense of the way. So it's so great doing it that way. Now, moving on to our topic of the day, cannabis and the food industry. Now, this is I don't want to say a touchy subject, but it is a subject that needs to be talked about more. It also needs to be addressed a little bit more in the mainstream media, I feel. And it also needs to come to the light that it's a whole avenue that chefs can embark on, but is not available to everyone. I live in Denver, Colorado, where cannabis is legal. But I've been in Georgia, back in Atlanta, Georgia, for the past 2 years now since COVID happened because of COVID. And I came back to visit family, but then I kind of stayed here through the whole COVID situation. And I'm still here right now where weed is not legal. So even though I learned so much about cooking with weed and understanding how to make cannabis butter and different things when I was in Colorado, I can't legally use those things here because it's not legal. So the same thing that I could do in Colorado and make, I would say thousands, but you can actually make millions of dollars a year. If I do it in Georgia, it's illegal. And there's where it gets a little tricky because the fact that we are glorifying or making it very easy in some states right now to go to a dispensary and buy weed in general, but also buy different products like chocolate bars, jelly beans, root beer, anything you can think of, lollipops, you can infuse weed into. And the fact you can do that, like it's a 7-Eleven in some states, but in some states you will get more than 10 years in prison for having a fraction of the amount that you can buy from the dispensary on your person. It's very weird. It's a very weird thing. And I mean, let's just say what it is. It also is very divisive in our country where some of the states that won't pass the legalization of it because a lot of them get money from people being in jail. So if you get money from people being in jail and you easily can throw people in jail for drug charges that in other states you can go and buy more drugs than they're being charged for on the street, why would you change it? Because you're looking out for yourself. Now, this is also where it gets tricky because if a state tomorrow says that weed is legal now, like let's just say Georgia, it's not going to happen in Georgia for a while, but let's just say Georgia says tomorrow weed is legal, 2022, weed is legal in Georgia starting in April. It takes a while to roll out everything. Let's just say April. Now, if I'm in jail in Georgia and I sold an ounce of weed, let's just say an ounce, and I'm in jail, I had a public defender, you know, they didn't do anything for me, I might be serving 7 years right now for selling an ounce of weed. But then you go get a business loan, or actually I take that back. It's not federal yet, so you can't get a technical business loan to open a dispensary, but it takes money. But you use what you need to do to get a loan to open a dispensary, and you can sell more than an ounce to anybody every day and you make millions of dollars. Just to bring it into kind of number wise, last year alone, there was $17.5 billion made in the sales of legal marijuana. Now, when you say that $17.5 billion made last year, that's only counting the states that are actually legal to sell marijuana. There's 50 states, but yet there are only 18 states that have legalized the sale of marijuana. So that means out of 18 states, that makes up $17.5 billion in sales that they have already just calculated for last year alone. But before we go on with the amount of money you can make in weed, let's get back to the scenario I was setting up. So as I mentioned, I'm in jail for about 7 years to 10 years, depending on my public defender, for selling an ounce of weed. And you have a dispensary where you make millions of dollars. Now, is it fair for me to stay in jail when you're starting to sell double, triple, quadruple the amount that I'm in jail for daily? I don't think it's fair. I don't even know how this is even in a debate, but I also understand that it's in question. And the idea of we legalize this, but then we have to release these people. A lot of these states who have not even moved to make medical marijuana legal, they don't want that to happen. And as much as, you know, like you can make it a conspiracy theory or I don't know how you spin it, it's just A to B. It's A to B. If they do A, then you have to go from A to get to B. 1 + 1 = 2. If you make it legal, you have to release people who are in jail for that same crime. You can't tell me that it's a crime for me to do something that's on every single like corner at this point. Like you can't say that I was selling coffee and it's illegal in Arkansas to sell coffee and then you bring Starbucks in. I need a retrial. Like I need to understand why it was legal for this, you know. But that's the big thing. And that's one of the reasons why it's not something that is going to be legalized overall until the states understand that they have to make things right. Because, you know, otherwise they're going to look like hypocrites and they're going to get sued. And it's no way that the justice system can uphold justice if they are blatantly going against it in that way. So that's one of the reasons why, if you're wondering why your state might not have legalized marijuana, that's one of the reasons why. But as I mentioned earlier, it's big bucks, which makes it weird that it hasn't been legalized in America, because if it's one thing that America cares about more than anything else, more than politics, more than racism, more than pretty much anything, America stands on the back of capitalism and making money. So I am very surprised that we have not made this legal everywhere, knowing that $17.5 billion came in to those 18 states. And I don't know how it hasn't been made legal, because, yeah, I just figured they would just roll the red carpet out to get that money coming in by the truckloads. But hey, we'll see what happens going to the future. And I will say, just because I've been on both sides of the coin after working in Colorado for a while, that yes, one of the biggest downsides or the biggest complaints that you would hear about people who live in states where weed is legal is the pay. And it's not just the pay that the dispensaries are paying their people, but now it's the pay that the mom and pop stores or these smaller companies can afford to pay to compete to get employees. Because at a dispensary, you can start out with $20 plus health benefits right out the gate. And at most companies, you still have to wait 90 days for health benefits to kick in. And most places are not paying you over $12 an hour to do things anymore. And so, or I wouldn't even say anymore, just in general, you know. And I know that the wage is going up in a lot of places, but when wage goes up, as we all know, that means that items go up in cost. So the cost of living is going up and the wage is not going up as fast. So a lot of these states do feel like bringing dispensaries in will push out a lot of the mom and pop situations, which I totally understand. But I think it's one of those things where if we don't have a discussion about it, we're just running off the idea that, you know, you just run off fear in a way. You know what I mean? Versus having full blown discussions, town halls, and really understanding that you can make it work if we have a discussion and make it work. So that's both sides of the story. Before we move on any further in this discussion, though, let's get back to our brownie. So We got our chocolate melted down, our first two chocolates, basically, our cocoa powder and our unsweetened chocolate. And next thing we need to do, add in our fat. So as I mentioned earlier with the fats, we have oil. So I'm using vegetable oil here. And then I'm going to use the can of butter. So normally right now I would use the butter in here. This is where we just swap out the cannabis butter for the butter. Now, this is also where making your own items or making your own edibles at home is a little dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. First of all, baking is a science. Outside of cannabis butter world, baking is a science. There are calculations to understand how much baking powder you need to go in something, like what makes this moist and keeps it moist when you bake it, so on and so forth. And just like any other thing, adding weed into something is also a science. When you get anything from, when you get a high from most edibles, some people will refer to it as a body high. And it's because, you know, you're ingesting it, you're not smoking it. And some people feel like an entire body high, right? Well, depending on the dosage, depends on the type of high that you will receive. So in terms of you not knowing what you're doing or how much you're putting in something, make sure that you do as much research as you can before you just go home and make some can of butter yourself and throw it in some gummy bears or some brownies, because there is a such thing as too much of anything. So you know what I'm saying? It's the difference between saying, oh, you've never had a drink before, and for somebody's 21st birthday, instead of giving them a shot or maybe a margarita, you give them a Long Island iced tea, which is going to put them on their ass because they never had alcohol before. You don't want that to happen with your edibles here. So you want to make sure that you are calculating exactly what you need per. You're calculating exactly how much cannabis butter you need to get the body high that you want. This is also why I push for all the states to have legal marijuana, because when you're in a state that doesn't, or you never actually done the research or talked to people who cook or make these things for a living, you don't know what you're doing sometimes. And the good thing about dispensaries is that they bring knowledge as well as the expertise behind making all those items. And if anything, I think that it's dangerous when we don't have the knowledge before we start doing things. So that's one of my biggest things about doing this. In this case, if you know what you're doing and you know you can swap it out, this is one of those times where you've done it before. You know, just swap out the butter and you're all good to go. After you get your fat in, now your brownie batter is going to look like it's broken. So the next step is to bring that brownie batter back to one. So we're going to go ahead and add in our special items here, which brings broken brownie batter back to a chocolate consistency, which are going to be our eggs. So our egg yolks and whole eggs go in, and you'll instantly see that oily consistency go to pretty much a chocolate, I would say a chocolate mousse at this point. It's going to look very smooth, very silky looking, because that oil is incorporated in, but the oil is incorporated in, but the eggs are keeping everything together. Because remember, you have oil and water in here. As we know, oil and water don't mix, but those egg yolks are going to cause that oil and water to mix. And that's what we want here. Also, rule of thumb, we added in our egg, so you can go ahead adding your vanilla. And then the next thing you want to do is add in our sugar. So once you add in your sugar, you'll notice that the brownie batter is going to go from a lighter color chocolate to a darker color chocolate. And then after that, the next step is adding in your flour and your salt. We can add both these in at the same time. And you want to switch over from a whisk to a spatula at this point, because you kind of want to fold in your flour. Otherwise, it's going to get really thick on that whisk, and it's a little hard to use. So the spatula makes it so easy. Also, it makes it easy to go ahead and get all that flour off the sides of your bowl so you can incorporate it. And now we are ready for the fun part. So normally we can just add in one more chocolate here. We're all good, but why not kick it up a notch? So I think today, because we're already having some cannabis butter in here, so it's going to be a fun brownie to eat. Let's go ahead and make it a fun all the way around. So we're going to add in some milk chocolate, some white chocolate, and we're also going to add in a little bit of butterscotch and some macadamia nuts. I like macadamia nuts and I like butterscotch. And I think Altogether, this is a really cool flavor profile. So I think you'll really enjoy it. So this is one that I feel like makes it pretty cool for today. Now, once you get all that, we're going to pour our batter into our pan to go into the oven. And we just want to bake this for about 35 to 40 minutes. And the cool thing about making sure your brownies are done versus your cakes is that, or I say the uncool thing is that your brownies usually need time to finish outside of the oven. So sometimes when you're checking it, it'll feel like it's not done all the way, but it just needs to set. So make sure that after it comes out, you don't try to keep it in because you want it to dry out or get a little more done. If you let it sit in the pan for about 20 to 30 minutes, then it's going to set up and you don't have to worry about it. Once it cools down, then that brownie is easy and able to cut. So don't feel bad that you're taking it out and you feel like it's a little undone. It's totally fine. Another trick that I learned that I learned working on cruise ships is that if you line your pan with two pieces of aluminum foil, you can easily pick it up out of the pan when they're done. And this saves you on cutting your brownies. So you can cut it on your cutting board and you won't have to cut it inside of your pan. One, you don't scratch your pan up. And two, it's easier to cut when it's flat on a cutting board. You don't have to worry about the size of that pan. You can make the size of your brownies whatever size you want, which is really cool to do. So after we put it in the oven, we're going to wait for it to come out and cool down. Let's jump back into our topic here. So as I mentioned earlier, we're making the brownies today because I'm remaking something from season 2. I did that because I feel like that's the exact same thing we do with cannabis in the food industry, right? We're simply just adding cannabis to things that are already made. There's not a recipe that's out there that is just created for canna butter or cannabis oil or anything. Like, we usually just add it to the ingredients or the recipes that we already have. And that's why I consciously did that today with something I've already done on another season, just to show you how easy it is to swap out. Now, if you are one of those people that just really enjoys canna butter, it's one of those things where, as I mentioned, once you know the dosage and you know the dosage on it by whoever made it, you make it to a certain strength, but you can pretty much add it into your eggs in the morning when you're frying them. You can add it to your pasta. You can add it to anything you think you could add butter to or an oil to, which makes it super easy to use. Now, the hopes for the future is that if and when cannabis becomes legal federally, that we will have classes in culinary school. We'll have different pop-up stores. We'll have restaurants where they can be places that you can get different things. Now, understand the other argument for that is that if you are under 18, then you run the risk of my kids have access to marijuana in places or weed in places where I don't want them to, like at a restaurant. And how can I control if my kids, you know, get that food? Well, first off, and I mean, I can't see into the future, but in my mind right now, I'm not thinking fast food restaurants with a drive-through when I say they're going to be cannabis-themed restaurants. I mean, it also costs a lot of money. So let's not take away the idea that weed costs money. So to make a restaurant, you also have to pay for that. And you have to make sure that you get people in that knows what they're doing. Because if you mess up a batch of butter, that's a lot of money and a lot of money wasted. You can't like reuse it. It's one of those things where, as of now, it's probably going to be more fine dining, sit down restaurants where they would do these things at. And so your kids won't actually have access to those unless you take them there. On the opposite side of that, the other argument for that particular idea is that alcohol has been legal for years. And, you know, there are liquor stores on every corner. They sell liquor in every convenience store, every pharmacist, and everywhere you walk into, there's some form of liquor that you can find. Now, that doesn't mean that your kids are out there drinking liquor every day because, you know, we have rules and regulations. You have to be a certain age and so on and so forth. So I think if we put the right steps into place, then you won't have to worry about that. Now, on the side of education, which is my biggest thing. I would just love to see the classes at different schools. I would love to see the medication use of it being taught. You know, there are different medical advantages of using weed infused lotions and different things, which you can find when you go to dispensaries. You can also find at your doctor's office. There is legalized marijuana for health use in a lot of states, and that's the reason why. So, I mean, one of the biggest things that marijuana has been used to help for a long time is glaucoma. And to understand like why this is good for that. And also, if you take chemotherapy, they recommend using marijuana because you lose your appetite. I can firsthand on that one. It definitely helps with that. And so it's one of those things where I feel like the education behind it needs to come. And the more we know, the better we will be as a people. That's first. But also, I feel like it's one of those things where if we take the stigma out of it, then it won't be something that is looked down upon or looked at as a second rate anything. And we also take away a lot of the people who have been incarcerated for doing something that now people are capitalizing on, which in terms is automatically, you know, it's wrong, you know, like you just know that it's wrong. And so it's an easy way to right a lot of wrongs that have been going on. And especially being in America, there's not a lot of times where we actually can right the wrongs, or people can actually say that they will right the wrongs. And this is one of those times where you can do it and both sides come out, you know, looking good. So a lot of times people don't want to say they're wrong because they don't want to look like the bad guy. Well, honestly speaking, you are the bad guy, but you can actually come out and not look like such a bad guy in this situation. So I feel like it should just be a no-brainer to legalize it across the board and right some of the wrongs that have been done. So finally, moving back into our brownies here, we've baked our brownies off. We want to get these out of the oven. Now, when I used to make brownies for the cruise ship, the brownie recipe that I used at America's Test Kitchen was really fun for the show that I did, but it was also not very practical for regular use, I feel, because you had to let it sit for like an hour and a half, and then you had to let it sit for again. These brownies, you don't have to do all that, but it is cool, like I mentioned earlier, to let it sit for about 20 to 30 minutes in the pan just so it can finish cooking and come together in a way. And then, yeah, if you just let it cool down, and when you cut it, it's just easier to cut chocolate when it's cool. So I just say this in sense of, if you have a chocolate bar and it's melted, it's melted. It's chocolate's going to go everywhere, or it's hot. You start to, you know, tear it apart and it's going to get on your fingers and everything else. But if you put a chocolate bar in the freezer, it's easier to cut it. In this case, room temp brownies are easier to cut than warm brownies from the oven. Now, I like warm brownies from the oven, though. So if you want to eat it, then it's also better to eat a little warm brownie from the oven. So it's your prerogative, but it is easier to cut and portion out once they get room temp, or even if you want to cool it down a little bit further and pop it into the refrigerator just so it cools down. But yeah, that's the reason why I recommend you cool these down, because it's just easier to cut chocolate when it's not piping hot. And then some of the other things you can do here is that you can add some caramel on top. You can just eat it how they are. You can break them up into your ice cream. It's a limitless world of possibilities here, guys. And also it's limited world of possibilities with cannabis butter, which I hope we will be using in the future more. And I hope that the education and the backing behind it will be used a little bit more as well. Now, before I get out of here, my final thoughts on using cannabis butter or cannabis in the food industry is that, one, I think that we need to do a complete overhaul of the idea that marijuana is bad. We've been using it at different places. We've been using it for health concerns. We've been using it for all different types of patients in the health field for years and years and years. And it's legal in a lot of states where people are using it. And it has not been any big downsides of using it. So that's the first thing, is create or changing the narrative that if marijuana becomes legal, that we're going to have a lot of stoners out here or people not doing anything. because that's just a false narrative that obviously we realize is not happening, because those states that have legal marijuana are still thriving the same as they were before they had legal marijuana. It's just thriving in different ways now. And they're $17.5 billion richer for it. And I'm going to keep saying that number because it's crazy. The other thing is that we need the education and the people who know what they're doing to get the right, to be in the right spots and the right spaces to teach everyone how to use this. I think education is the biggest thing that we're going to need across the board, because as I mentioned earlier, if you don't know what gram or the strength of what you're using, you can make these things at home and it might be way too bad. So the idea that you don't know what you're doing and you just make edibles at home is the same thing that was happening when before we legalized alcohol and people were bootleggers and they used to make other things like moonshine, where moonshine used to cause people to go blind because they were putting ingredients in it that we weren't supposed to have in our body, but they were trying to make things because they didn't have access to other things. So this is exactly what's going to happen before we get to the process or this state where we can have this legal everywhere. And I don't want that to happen because we're smarter now. We have more resources and more tools. So I feel like at the least, we don't have to go through that process of people making horrible mistakes and overdosing or doing irreparable damage to themselves by not knowing exactly how much, you know, weed is in each item. That also leads into my next point of, I love edibles. Like I said, I live in Colorado, so, you know, edibles are cool, but be careful where you get things from. This goes for anything. You know, a mixed drink is great at a bar. A mixed drink is not great from a stranger in a park. You know, like, so be smart and be careful about where you get all your edibles from. You know, if you don't know what is in something, it's very, very hard for someone to help you if something goes wrong. The first thing they ask you when you go to the hospital, if you have an overdose or anything, is what did you take? Because there's certain measures and certain drugs they need to administer to you to offset what you took. And you won't have any idea of what you took or how much of what you took. So just be smart yourself. Always protect yourself. Always know what you're putting into your body as much as possible. And just be aware of where it's coming from. And other than that, you know, it is one of those things where I feel like going to the future, we will see an increase of marijuana being legalized in states. But we also need to make sure that as we increase this legalization, we need to undo the wrongs and make sure that people are not still incarcerated for selling drugs that are now being sold at a premium on a corner at a convenience store, aka a dispensary. And that concludes our first episode of season 3, one down. And I don't want to tell you how many to go, but it's a lot coming your way. And also remember that this season is going to be a lot of ups and downs. So I'm doing some serious topics with some fun topics. So don't get upset that, you know, it might have started off on a serious note. We're going to talk about some fun stuff too this season. So guys, we got some special guest co-hosts coming through with their opinions on things as well. And we're going to get into some things, but also have some fun. So with that being said, please don't forget to reach out to me on social media with Chef Hollywood 88. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook. Please let me know how you're liking the seasons, how you're liking the episodes. What would you want to hear next? If you want to be a co-host, if you know someone who will make a good co-host, let me know. Just hit me up and give me your ideas. I'm always here for you guys, because without the listeners, why am I even doing it for? So please, and thank you. Also, thank you for tuning in today, and come back next week for an all-new episode of Cooking Your Way Through Life. See you later.
Thank you for listening to Cooking Your Way Through Life with Chef Hollywood.